Chapter 8. Man and Dog. In the fall, when the days were shorter and the air was colder, the Indians began taking down their summer camp and preparing for the hunting season. Some canoes left early and disappeared down the river. White Fang saw a chance to be free and decided to stay behind. Everybody was busy, and nobody noticed him leave the camp and run to the woods. He lay down behind some rocks and waited, dozing for long periods until he was woken by shouts. Gray Beaver and his wife, Klukooch, were looking for him, calling his name. White Fang shook with fear as they came nearer and almost crawled out, but his wish to be free was strong, and he stayed still. They did not find him. Sometime after the voices died away, he came out of his hiding place and played happily among the trees. But his enjoyment did not last long. As darkness came, he began to feel alone in the silent forest. Although nothing moved, he felt danger. The ground was cold under his feet, and he missed having a warm teepee to lie against. In his mind, he saw the village with its warm fires, and he heard the voices of the women and the snarling of the dogs when meat and fish were thrown to them. In the wild, there was no meat unless he caught it himself, and he had not hunted for a long time. When the wind blew the clouds away from the new moon, he jumped in fear as the shadow of a great tree fell across him. Then, a branch snapped above him in the cold air. He yelped and ran madly back to the smells and sounds of the village, wanting his master to protect him. But the village had gone. He sat down in the space where Gray Beaver's teepee had stood. He threw his head back and howled at the moon. As soon as daylight came, White Fang made up his mind and went into the forest. All day he ran, following the river, never resting. Even when his body was tired, he kept going. He climbed up and down mountains, and he ran along ice that was forming at the sides of the river, sometimes crashing through into the icy water. All night he ran, until his paws were red with blood. It was a day and a half since he had eaten, and he was becoming weak with hunger. When it began to snow heavily, the trail became even more difficult and painful to follow. Meanwhile, further up the Mackenzie River, Gray Beaver and Klukooch had planned to camp on the far side of the river with the rest of the Indians. But suddenly, their son, Mitza, saw a moose coming down to drink on the near side, and Gray Beaver fired his gun. If Mitza had not seen the moose, or Gray Beaver had missed his shot, White Fang would have passed by and continued his journey. The cub would have either died in the long winter, or joined a band of wild brothers and become a wolf to the end of his days. Snow was falling more thickly when White Fang smelled fresh tracks in the snow. He knew at once whose they were, and he followed them away from the river and into the trees. There, he saw Klukooch cooking, and Gray Beaver eating moose meat in the firelight. Expecting a beating, White Fang crouched low and crawled on his belly all the way to Gray Beaver, who stopped eating. The wolf cub had chosen to sit by this man's fire and be ruled by him. His master raised his hand, and White Fang waited for the beating to begin. It did not come. He looked up, and to his surprise, Gray Beaver was tearing his meat in half and offering him a piece. Very gently, the cub smelled the meat and then ate it. A warm, happy feeling came over White Fang as he lay by the fire, dozing and knowing that he was safe. By the middle of December, the Mackenzie River was frozen again, and Grey Beaver decided to make a journey with his family. He bought dogs from other Indians and drove a sled with a team of 7 full-sized dogs. He made a small sled for Mitzah to drive, with a team of 7 puppies. White Fang had seen camp dogs in harness before, so he did not mind wearing the harness himself. Each puppy was attached to the sled by a long rope, and each rope was a different length. As they pulled the sled, each dog tried to attack the one in front of it, but could never quite reach it. The more they pulled, the faster the sled moved across the snowy ice. It was worst for the dog at the front. This dog was called the leader, but in fact, all the other dogs could see him running away from them as if he was scared. Their one thought all day long was to catch him and attack him. Mitzah knew this, and he also knew all about Lip Lip. He had watched the endless attacks on White Fang, and the way that Lip Lip had stopped the wolf cub from playing with the other puppies. Lip Lip had been another man's dog, so Mitzah had not been able to do more than throw a stone at him once or twice. Now, Lip Lip was his dog, so he made him the leader. The moment the sled started, the team chased Lip Lip. At first, he tried to turn and bite the following dogs, but he quickly felt the end of Mitzah's 30-foot whip. Lip Lip had no choice but to run for his life. He was leader of the team, but he had stopped being the leader of the pack. When they made camp, Mitzah made Lip Lip's life even worse by giving him extra pieces of meat while the rest of the team jealously watched. If they tried to take a bit, Mitzah protected Lip Lip. In camp, he had to keep close to the humans, because now the fangs of all the dogs were against him, and he was tasting what White Fang's life had been. White Fang liked the sled. He worked hard and obeyed Mitzah. But he had no love for the other dogs, and he only mixed with them to fight and return some of the snaps and cuts they had given him. The puppies kept away from him, eating their own meat quickly in case White Fang took it from them. If occasionally a dog tried to fight back, White Fang was on him, cruel and wild. They had to respect him, but he did not respect them. They were on the trail for many months, with White Fang growing stronger in mind and body. He did not love Grey Beaver, but he obeyed him because a man was more powerful and intelligent than a wolf. There was no love from Grey Beaver because it was not his way, and White Fang did not know the enjoyment of being stroked. Men's hands sometimes gave meat, it was true, but mostly they threw stones and used whips. They hit and gave beatings. In strange villages, he learned that children's hands were just as cruel, and when a child approached, he got up and walked away. White Fang's worst crime so far had been to bite his master's foot after Kicha was taken away. It was in a village at the Great Slave Lake that he learned more about the law of not biting humans.